So we are very honored to have Pastor Peter with us this morning, and I've just been blessed to just be able to go to New York and just serve with their ministry a couple different times, and you know, he's the real deal. He is the real deal, and he loves his state, and he loves his city, and he loves the people there. And you know, this last time that I went, I was really able to experience, we were out with a food truck, and we were at, I don't know, it was maybe the Bronx. It was that shelter that just has chairs. And but, you know, he joined us with that on that trip, and that was the first time he actually joined my group, I guess. But just to be able to witness, like, him, and I'm a people watcher, so I watch people all the time, you know. But, you know, the love that he showed those people. And I just remember, you know, and it didn't matter what they looked like, what they smelled like, what their situation was. He had so much compassion and love. Like, they were friends forever. And I just seen him talking with people and hugging people and loving on people and praying with people. And even when we did outreaches that we helped with the churches that were there, you know, he just loved with the pastors and worked with the other communities and stuff. And I remember, and I think I might have shared this before, but Heidi Baker was really struggling about coming back to the United States and ministering because she was so used to being in Mozambique. And she was like, okay, God, I'll do it. And it was an attitude of her heart. And the Lord spoke to her and said that you will only have as much authority for those that you love. If you do not love, you know, wherever I'm sending you, United States, you're not going to have the authority, my authority there. And I just, you know, believe Pastor Peter has so much authority, and God has anointed him for New York City, and he just loves on those people. So I just like to welcome him to share what the Lord has for him, for us, from him.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. How many sense Jesus here today? Amen. I said, how many sense Jesus here today? Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord for the time change. What time are we at? Where are you at? Who's on first? What's on second? But anyway, some of you changed your clocks today, so we're able to be together today. Thank you, Dee, and thank you, Pastor John, for allowing us to be here today. We send our greetings. My family was actually with us in Everett, but my mother-in-law has not been well, and she's been struggling with cancer, and God is helping her all the way, but the grace of God is upon us. We don't get into the Pennsylvania, or I say Pennsyltucky, that often. We're from the big city, you know, it's all good in the hood. That's what we say in New York. But great to be here today and to experience the presence of God. I do have a word for you. I'm going to show a video clip of what we do. I'm the president of New York School of Urban Ministry. Actually, we have some catalogs out here. They're all free. I'd like everybody to take one, and so that you could pray for us and also see what God is doing. New York School of Urban Ministry, you say, well, what is it as long-term? It's a short-term practical outreach ministry. People come in for a weekend or a week, 2 weeks, whatever the church or school or college would like to be a part of. And what we do is we put you in a classroom and train you for about an hour, and then that staff person sends you out and takes you out, street meetings, block parties. We have a food truck on the road. We feed over 30,000 homeless and hurting people throughout the year. And we're seeing God begin to do a great move of his spirit. We network with over 100 different pastors and churches throughout the greater metro area. And the joy is that not only are people being touched in this city, but people learn how to do urban ministry, city ministry, so they take it back to their city, and there is a revival. I don't care what CNN, MSN is saying, there is a revival happening in America. Can I get an amen? And it's not simply a political revival, it is a spiritual awakening. And that's what America needs, a spiritual awakening of the Holy Spirit, and it's the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not the president. Thank God for our president. It's not the Congress. It's not the. It comes and it happens when you and I, as Dee said, encounter the love and the presence of Jesus. That's where revival takes place. Amen. And so we have these catalogs, and I'd like you to take them here. Celebrating 35 years, we've trained over 40,000 people in hands-on ministry. People are taking it back to Pittsburgh, Memphis, Tennessee, South Florida, Richmond, Virginia, Argentina, Mexico, and all other parts of the world. I want to call your attention to this flyer, and this is for the ladies here. And we have a special outreach right after the weekend of Mother's Day. After Mother's Day weekend, it's annually, and we call it Extreme Makeover Weekend for Women. We train women. We usually have about 175 women. Pray for me, Pastor. Anyway, 175 fired up women. We train you, equip you, and then we send you out to minister to battered women in homeless New York City shelters. 800 women. Start off with a few, 100 to, now we're up to 800 women. We do pedicures, manicures, facial. I mean, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. Brand new outfits. They come in feeling like a zero and they leave a hero. And God is moving by His Spirit. We have as our speaker on the weekend, we have a celebration time. We're out Friday night on the streets, and then Saturday in the shelters. Then Saturday night, we have Pastor Marlinda Ireland from Christ Church. She's going to share her testimony, quite impactful testimony, and fire up the ladies for ministry. Oh, isn't it great serving Jesus? Is it great to be a Christian? These are challenging days, but awesome days. This is the hour of the church that we can arise and be who God has called us to be. Before I give you the word that God has given to me, if we could have the house lights, and I want to just take a few minutes, show this video clip of what NYSM is all about and how we can be a part and partners together in the body of Christ. God bless you. I'm Peter DiRuta, president of NYSM. NYSM is the New York School of Urban Ministry here in Queens, New York.
What you learn at NYSM is you learn servant leadership.
Every year we train hundreds and thousands of people in hands-on compassion ministry.
It's just opened my eyes to even, you know, how I need to view evangelism even when I go back home.
NYSM really prepared our students by giving them training and equipping here in a classroom environment, taking them out to gain practical experience so that when they went back home, they had the confidence to dive in.
When you come to NYSM, not only does it give you training, not only does it give you discipleship, but it gives you a family, and we're here for you, and we're here to support you, to encourage you, and just to help you get to the next level of following Jesus.
NYSM lays out the red carpet, and they are one of the greatest partners that we have. That's why we keep coming back year after year.
Thanksgiving, we serve 5,000 turkey dinners to homeless people. At Christmas, we're in the city shelters, giving out hundreds of toys to inner city kids. In the summertime, we're out in the streets with basketball evangelism. In the spring, ministering to 800 battered women in city shelters.
The most favorite thing personally for me is to see when God just lines things up. You're all of a sudden, you're standing in a moment and you realize that only God could have put this moment together. Not a moment for me or even the team, but a moment for the person that we're ministering to, and that the care and compassion that Christ has for the individual is amazing.
Lives matter to God, all lives matter, and God really wants to redeem all people. And that's what you see at NYSM.
When you come to the city, you experience folks up close, you know them up close.
I consider NYSM a bridge, a partner, a friend.
NYSM knows what the needs are of this city. And we don't want to recreate the wheel. We just want to join the wheel that's already spinning here, and that's Nysom.
And there's opportunities to reach into all of the five boroughs because of the relationships that they've had over the years.
Nysom has connected with our vision to help the community, and they come with a heart of serving.
If you want to learn how to impact your city, if you want to learn how to reclaim your community for Christ, then Nysom is your go-to place. Together, we can reclaim cities for Christ.
Amen. Is God able? I said, is God able? I said, is God able? Amen. Amen. God bless you. He is well able. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me today to page 845, and then we'll get looking into the Word. Actually, we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and see what God has for us today. Thank you, sister, whoever prayed for that wonderful couple. We couldn't have children. My wife had a lot of physical challenges and so on. Hysterectomy at 25, we were wrecked and ruined. But after we prayed and sought God, of course, there's a lot of story in between, God blessed us with two. We got double for our trouble. And God is able to do it. You just have to, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, and God will come through. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and we're looking in verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, say no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion, as he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Take the hand of your neighbor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Come on, church. Let's just thank him right now. We thank you, Lord, that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God, you want to take us from good to great, from ordinary to extraordinary, from common to uncommon. Father, I pray, activate this church. What a wonderful name, Acts Church. Let the ways and acts of God flow out from this church to reach Everett and beyond, we pray. That, Lord, through your church and through your bride, we pray, Lord God, that we would be reflections of your grace and your glory, and we might begin to minister that grace and glory to those that we encounter, even today, Lord. We're asking it in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Several years ago, on a Sunday afternoon, living in New York City, my wife and I are urban missionaries, and Nysom was started 35 years ago. My wife and I have been there 32 years, so we've seen how God has developed our ministry. We're 5 minutes located from LaGuardia Airport. God blessed us, and we moved from a 10,000-square-foot campus facility. We're in a 74,000-square-foot building, old abandoned hospital. That's a whole nother story. God helped us. We were able to purchase it. It was very abandoned. It was abandoned for 10 years. And actually, I got the word when I was at the old building. We had turned away 300 people from coming to our ministry. I was so burdened. I was really depressed. This was in August after our summer outreaches. And I'm on my way home. I have this pink slip walking up the street to my apartment, and I see this big abandoned hospital building. I had been by it many times, but it was a Kairos God moment. Are you with me today? You could walk by, you know, the IGA or Everett Food Liner, excuse me, it changes. You know, I'm in the know here, you know. And, you know, go by, you know, Sheets or whatever. Then you go by another time, and it's like, this is a burning bush moment. And so I just saw that building. I had the pink slip in my hand from my secretary. I laid hands on the building. I didn't want to do a Jericho march because I didn't want the walls to cave in. So I just laid my hands. Somebody will get that. I just laid my hands on the building, and I didn't rebuke the, you know, you spend all this time rebuking the devil. He's getting all the glory. When you turn the lights on, the cucarachas, the cockroaches, the rat, whatever is in there has to leave. Are you with me today? So Jesus said, if I and I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Focus more on the light, and the darkness is dispelled and dispensed by the light of Jesus. We are the what? The light. Say, you're the light of the world. And so I just laid my hands on that building. I said, God, would you not release this building for your kingdom? And prayed for a few moments, and the place was a dump with a capital D, but I saw Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when it's God, even dirt looks anointed. I'm telling you, even decay looks glorious. I went home, talked to my wife. We prayed about it and presented it to the Lord. And 4 months later, dropped my girls off to Christian school. It was a rainy morning, so I came back and picked up my wife. She's my secretary, so if you know I'm picking up my secretary, it's all under the blood. It's my wife anyway. And so I pick her up, and we're going into the old building, but we're driving by this old hospital building, and we're in traffic, 9 o'clock in the morning, and my wife starts beating on me, I mean blessing me. And so I said, honey, did I offend you already? You know, men have a gift that keeps on giving, you know, 24. No, the hospital, it's for sale. I said, what do you, yes, it's for sale. So we're in traffic. I said, honey, give me a piece of paper and pen. And so I'm writing it all down and everything. And I hear people beeping their horn behind me, waving their hand. I said, I see that hand. You may put it down. Continue to write and so on. And I go into our old building, call. And then they say, yes, it's for sale, $4 million. See, that's why they call us Pentecostal believers. That's the level of our faith. You see, if you could do it and I could do it, there is no God factor. There is no Jesus. But God wants to take us from the ordinary to the extraordinary, from good to great. Oh, can I get an amen here in the house? We believe in the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so through that building and that ministry, we continue to train and equip And that's a whole nother testimony of how God brought a whole army of men in to renovate 95% of the building. We bought the building. It was abandoned for 10 years. I mean, it was so abandoned that when we came in to look at the building and we hit the elevator button, all the toilets flushed. I mean, we had mucho problemas. I'm not speaking in tongues. That's Spanish. That means many problems. I mean, we had 55 inhabitants living in the building. 3 were human. The rest were pigeons living up on the 4th floor. They didn't pay much rent, but they dropped a load, if you know what I mean. So I called a friend of mine in Connecticut. He came on a weekend. We had to renovate this area quickly. And as he's leaving Sunday afternoon, we prayed, got in his car. Then he gets out of his car. I said, Gary, what's wrong? He said, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. Now, you know, they call the years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is called 400 years. It's called the dark years. Well, those were the dark days of Nisim. I mean, there was no prophetic voice, and it was very, I mean, it was dust and dirty. I mean, just change the light bulb, the fixture would fall on your head. I mean, this was really challenging times. And so he gets out of his car. He says, you don't understand. He says, the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. I said, what did he say? He said, the Holy Spirit said, come back and help you and Nisim every 6 weeks with a free contracting crew to renovate this entire building. They have brought over 500 men to our ministry. How does that happen? You see, when you get into the God zone, as they were singing a little while ago, God, I'm all yours. I just give it all to you. I must tell you today. Then God begins to say, oh, really? You're interested like the Virgin Mary. There were many women, but there was only one virgin. She kept herself pure so that now the flow of God's presence would flow through that life. How many want to be that virgin territory, that unpolluted, uncontaminated, non-mixture of that which is happening in our society? And so we look into the Word today. I have good news for you today, because when I got up early this morning, I was getting ready. I got on Facebook, and when I got my face in the book, God was blogging some pretty good stuff on his wall. And I began to read. And the Bible tells us in Philippians 2, there's something unique about Jesus. Who is Jesus? We're going into the Lenten season, and we see how Jesus comes into the city, and Jerusalem has changed. That's a whole nother message, Palm Sunday, and resurrection, and so on. And when people don't know what to do in a city, there's challenges, there's forces. There's no parking, there's graffiti, there's all everybody packed in together. And you say, well, what's it all about? It's about reaching people, because people need Jesus. Amen? People need Jesus. You're a people. We're people. We need the Lord. And so as I started out in our message this morning, I'm already in trouble because I haven't even finished my introduction, and it's already 20 after 11 anyway. But I'm not going to keep you long. I always ask a pastor, how long do I have? It's like the pastor who was talking to the traveling evangelist, and he says, the evangelist asked the pastor, how long do I have? And he says, you can preach for as long as you want, but at 12 noon, you'll be by yourself. Anyway, moving right along. So Sunday afternoon, I lived for many years, I lived about a block away from our ministry campus. And so Sunday afternoon, it's in the middle of July, it's hot. I decide to go downstairs. I'm wearing a t-shirt, shorts, flippers, you know, those are rubber ones. And so I go downstairs. It's finished basement down there. And there's a young lady who worked in a Christian school, Nikki, and she lived there. And then there's this little boiler room, just a hot water heater and a small Weil McLean boiler. And there's a workbench. So the owner had put that together. And I've been busy, and the workbench got a little bit cluttered and so on. So I had a little bit of time Sunday afternoon. I decided to go down and clean it up. And my wife and daughters were upstairs. My daughters were probably about three years old at that time. And so anyway, I'm standing there. I'm looking at the workbench, and there is a table fan, you know, oscillating. That was on there, and I had to move that. And then there was something else. So I had my hands full. And I'm at the front of the workbench, and as I began to turn like this, the cord hits a can of WD-40, a little spray there, and the can falls off the workbench and lays flat. Well, no big deal, except for in the concrete, there was just a little pebble that was sticking up, and in the concrete, that little pebble hits the punctures a hole through that can, and now that WD-40 that is pressurized, now it begins to spin like a top. And so what I do is I take my sandal and I kick the can out of the way, and I'm walking out of the boiler room, and all of a sudden the boiler room is on fire, as well as my feet. Both feet on fire, and I'm screaming and yelling, not too sanctified. When you're on fire, you're not saying kumbaya. Oh God, get out of the house, get out of the house. I'm screaming, yelling, fire, fire, get out, everybody get out. And I'm going like this. I'm doing Davidic dancing, and I'm screaming and yelling, my feet, oh God, help me. Nikki, get out, get out. And the smoke is coming. And then I found a bucket in the boiler room. I'm going like, oh Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. My feet are on fire, but I got to put this fire out. So I take the bucket. I go into her kitchen. I'm saying, Jesus, help me. So I fill it up, and I douse the boiler room. Still not out. Do it again. Finally, the second time I'm done. Then I run upstairs. I go sit on the toilet. And an elder that was in the church locally, Andy, he comes down in a white T-shirt. And he just got no shoes on, nothing, bare feet, and he comes running down. And so I come running up and I sit on the toilet and I put my feet up like this. He says, "What do you want me to do?" I said, "Just run the cold water," and I'm just calling on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Title of my message is this: First responders. Church, you and I are God's first responders, not second, not third, nor fourth, nor fifth. Say first responder. Say to your neighbor, I'm a first responder. Now wake up your other neighbor, say, I'm a first responder. Now the problem is that we as first responders, we don't think that we're first responders. Or we think that we have to have certain things, or we have to have a certain background. And now it's not only the first responder, but it's the person that is receiving the administration or ministry of that which we need to give to them. You have two dimensions when people have, catastrophic events that take place. You have the responder and you have the respondee. And so the Bible tells us in Philippians 2, there are some principles. I want to leave you today four qualities of a first responder. The first one we find in the word Jesus, what he humbled himself and became a what? He became a servant. He began to minister to people. What does the Bible say about Jesus and the world? You know, sometimes we can be a little bit, disconnected. Jesus said, be in the world, but not of the world. I went to a college. I graduated from Bible college, talked with Pastor John this morning. Then I went to another college in upstate New York, and I got my BA degree. And the original founders of that particular college, they were the old timers, the old time religion. Don't get too close to the world. I mean, that college is so far out in the countryside, Bambi can't even find it. Jesus said, be in the world, but not of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good preaching, your good prophecy, your good fivefold. No, that they may see your good works and what? And glorify our Father which is in heaven. Four qualities of a first responder. Number one is compassion. Compassion. You know, when you're a first responder, you need to understand that people are going to react. I was yelling, I was screaming, I was on fire, my flesh was being burned. And sometimes we look at people and we say, what is their problem? They're behaving strange, they're reacting very different. It's because that they have faced catastrophic events. And so you know what, when the elder came down, I didn't care if he was a senior elder, a generic elder, a loser elder, an elder with a GPA of 1.2, it didn't matter to me. Can somebody help me and bring relief? Come on, can I get an amen here today? Compassion. Jude 22, the word says, and some have compassion making a difference. Then the FDNY showed up. I didn't care if they had a fight with their wife the day before. It doesn't matter how much money they had, if they even had a 401k. It didn't matter if the guy had a bad breath or BO or in other words, is there somebody that's able to help me? Jesus comes to the man at the pool of Bethesda, and the story was, the fable was that the sick that were there and paralytic people, once a year the angel would come and trouble the waters, and whoever would jump in first would be healed. At least that was the word that they said. And Jesus comes to the man and he says, do you want to be made whole? What about your situation? And the man says, I'd like to get into the water, but this is what he says, I have no man. I have no man. I don't want to be in heaven when I'm receiving, hopefully, and you're receiving, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that somebody's pulling on our coattails. Why didn't you just tell me? Why didn't you just help me or carry me into the presence of God? Can I get a witness here today? There are people. Don't let the devil mess you up. Don't let the devil think that you have to be like some person on TV. You have to wax eloquently. You have to preach a certain way. We thank God for what God is doing. But sometimes we as ministry and ministers and the Church of Jesus Christ, we mess Christians up because we say you have to act a certain way, dress a certain way, talk a certain way. Yeah, God wants us to be effective, but God takes us where we're at right now. Can you say right now? And you and I are the salt and the light of the earth. And so it didn't matter. It didn't matter to me. Was the man that was the two men that were helping to bring relief to me, did they shop at H&M? Did they get a sale at Macy's? Have they been to Bloomingdale's recently? I was just saying, can anybody help me? The Bible tells us in Romans 1:1, Paul the Apostle said, I, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. The reason why he was the greatest apostle, evangelist, pastor, missionary, teacher, is because he was not hanging on to titles. His life was based upon servanthood to Jesus. We had a team years ago come to Nysom, and they got out of the van. They traveled about 15 hours, and they were tired, but there was a depression, sort of depressed spirit with the team. And they got out and got into our lounge, welcome and everything. So I talked to the leader. I said, is everything okay with your team? Oh, we've faced some church problems this week. It's really, really bad. But we came anyway. I said, God bless you. How can we help you? And is everything okay? And he says, well, we had a church split. That's the deal. We had a church split this past week. Oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, we wanted to honor the pastors and some of the leaders in the church, so we decided to put up, some special parking places, senior pastor and assistant, so on. And some of the people didn't like that, so had a church split over parking issues. I said, well, we don't have any parking in New York City, so we don't have those issues. Church, there are people that are facing right now and have faced catastrophic events. You don't have to be the greatest evangelist, the greatest pastor, leader, just be the salt and the light of Jesus. As I was sitting there, my phone beeped. Ethiopian Airways just took off this morning. 157 people, everyone killed. Some Americans, and I've been to Africa before. How do you handle those situations? Number one, compassion. Jesus, what? He humbled himself. It's not about me. It's all about them, and it's all about Jesus. Secondly, number two, it takes courage to be a good first responder. Here I was, all whacked out. I'm a minister. I'm ordained. I've been in ministry for over 40 years. Let me tell you, when you're going through hell and back, it doesn't matter how many years you're in ministry, whether you have REV, ordination, bishop, apostle, prophet, whatever, people are hurting. And it takes courage as a first responder not to react to people's reaction. Jesus humbled himself and became a servant. Takes courage. Jesus jumped into our situation 2,000 years ago. Died on a cross for you and me. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Come on, can we just give a wave offering quickly to the Lord? Aren't you glad you're saved today? He jumped into my mess and made a message out of it. He jumped into my test and made it a testimony. You see, people that are in flood zones and the Bible Belt in New Orleans, and you see these first responders, they're not only interested in saving the person, but the person's got, what about my pet dog or my pet canary or my pet lizard? You're not saying, hey, what's your problem? Get a light. No. They're taking a first responder is sensitive and takes the courage to risk everything to somehow see that person's life revolutionized by the power of God. Thirdly, the third quality of a first responder is consistency. Are we consistent? I was going over this message, and I happened to go on Facebook, and they showed a video clip of a mother in the mall, had a newborn, just about 6-8 months old, and all of a sudden stopped breathing. That's a serious. I'm saying this is serious. And she starts hitting the back of the child and the neck and doing everything, and she can't. So now she's starting to get a little bit more frantic, and so there were some security officers, and so an officer was in the mall. He came over and she hands the baby to the mother, and that first responder is there working on that child. Another second. You know, you're talking seconds. If you don't have any oxygen going to your brain, there's a good possibility that you and I would be debilitated. We might become a vegetable. A minute goes by. A minute and a half. 2 minutes. The mother goes to her friend in frantic, and I saw, it was just amazing. I saw the consistency of this first responder was not getting whacked out, did not allow this child nor the mother of what she was going through. And I would be like, I'd be over there with a shotgun in his head. You know what I mean? Are you kidding me? Do something. But no, he stayed calm, cool, and collected. And there he was. And finally, after about 2.5, almost 3 minutes, that baby, and there's nothing wrong with that baby. Could we put our hands together and give God some praise right now? Consistency. When I got to the hospital, and I just was in the emergency, and my feet were torched, burned, and I just lost it. I just broke down, and there was my wife and another staff member and the doctor. It's okay. It's okay. You know how reassuring that is? There are people that just want to lose it. We had one of our young ladies. We were out on our food truck, and in one place it was sort of slim pickings, and so we decided to go over to Port Authority. That's the big bus terminal in between the two buildings on 41st Street, Midtown Manhattan. Late at night, very cold. And so we're there ministering, and we didn't even start preaching the gospel. We just arrived with the food truck, opened up the door of the food truck, and a swarm of people like bees to honey. See, the devil thinks that, you know, what are you going to do? What can you do? And everything we do is preaching the gospel, whether it's through words or actions. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, could you give just a cup of cold water in my name? Just a cup of cold water in my name. And so one of our young ladies, we had just hired her. She came on, Kristen, she came on board. She was only there for about 3 months, and she was with me. She says, Pastor Peter, she says, I have to go to the bathroom. I said, Kristen, God is moving. You know what I mean? Take control of your bodily functions, you know? Get the victory over it. God is moving. Okay. So he comes back 5 minutes later. Brother Peter, I really got to go. I said, okay, go and sin no more. I mean, anyway, so go ahead, do your thing. We'll be here. She comes back 20 minutes later, tears in her eyes. I said, you didn't make it, Kristen? No, I made it, Pastor, but you got to understand what happened in the bathroom. I'm going to the restroom, and as I go into the restroom, there's an older woman in the corner, all curled up in a fetal position, weeping, and I go to her, and I said, what's wrong? She said, do you think God would forgive me tonight because I'm so depressed after I get out of this bathroom, I'm going to go to the 59th Street Bridge, and I'm going to commit suicide. And Kristen, at that moment, begins to minister to her, and by the time they come out, they're walking and leaping and praising God. God intervened with that woman. You see, we think that ministry is somehow big crusade or some personal event. God will even get, excuse what I'm saying, but God will even get our bodily functions to begin to be activated, to energize us, to get us into our spiritual destiny. Are you with me today? In not ordinary, but extraordinary circumstances. Consistency. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:28, you know what's happening, not just in America, but in the globe, on planet Earth. God says, in the last days, I'm going to shake the earth. But he says this, the writer says, we are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And if we link ourselves with God's kingdom, even though other people are being shaken up, we can give them the true kingdom of Almighty God. And as we close, preachers close, three times have closed, 2.5, hold steady. I'm glad I'm preaching here because I know Pastor John knew I was coming. He put a trap door in there last night, so I'm a good solid foundation. And the fourth quality, if I could have the worship team come up right now, the fourth quality of a first responder is conviction. Conviction. We're not mamby-pamby. We're not wimpy. We don't know what we're... No, we know exactly what to do. We move as it were, our eyes are as a flint. What did Paul the Apostle say in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12? Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. Do you know who you are in Christ? Job 19, 25 to 27, Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. Recently, we were up in the South Bronx at outside a homeless shelter called the Living Room. They have about 150 people that live there, no bed, only a chair. Can you imagine sleeping in a chair? You have to leave during the day, then you can come back at night, sleeping in a chair. So we're out there, freezing cold around Thanksgiving. People are coming out of the shelter, ministering. I was there with a team. You could start to play. That would be great. Thank you. And we have to encourage them somehow. And so as God is moving, this young man comes out of the shelter screaming, yelling, upset, freezing cold. He just has trousers and shirt on, banging the side of the concrete of the building. And he comes close to the food truck. And I'm standing at the food truck with our team and watching this. And so we got it together, stands in line. And I saw that he had some needs. So I reached out, came, said, "My name is Pastor Peter." He said, "My name is Hector." I said, "Hector, how you doing?" "Oh, okay, okay." I said, "Come, Hector, come." Hot chocolate, hot dogs, food, blanket, toiletry, the whole thing. And I ushered him to one of our workers, Mike, who was visiting with us from upstate. He was with us. I said, "Mike, here's Hector. He needs some prayer." So others started coming. I mean, it must have been about 100 people. It was really a move of God. And I had a team from Alabama. Pastor was there, probably about 30 people. So all of a sudden, as I look over about 20 minutes later, I see Mike, and he's laying hands on this man, Hector. Hector has two or three blankets over him, and he's sort of like this. And I motion to Mike, what's happening? And Mike's like, you know, I said, okay. About 5 minutes later, Hector just is like thrown to the concrete, right on his face. And we're watching this here. And then all of a sudden, Hector starts yelling and screaming. I mean, it's like 15 below. I mean, it is freezing. No clothes on, just, you know, no coat on or anything. And he starts taking his hand and fist and starts beating the concrete. He starts yelling and screaming, and he starts slithering like a snake. I happen to have a board member with me, Henry. He was with us that weekend, a couple other staff members. I said, "Guys, come on, we got to do some Holy Ghost business here right now." And so we just reached down, took our hand, and just began to pray for him and plead the blood of Jesus. And then he started to scream more. I said, "Hector, start calling on God." And then the demon manifest and said, "My name is not Hector." I said, "Devil, we are not impressed. In the name of Jesus, set this man free." Spitting, yelling, vomiting, cursing. Don't get whacked out. That's the devil. That's the devil. But God is setting people free. Can I get an amen? You have to be consistent. You have to know who you are in Christ. Say, "Devil, you're defeated in the name of Jesus." And so he started to level off a little bit. And then the workers came out and said, "Okay, everybody, clear the way, clear the way." And then they called the EMS and fire department and police. And they took him away. I said, "Ma'am, you don't understand. Reverend, you got to back away." I said, "I understand, but you don't understand. This is not a physical, this is a spiritual issue." Went away. A couple weeks later, I was up there in the truck, and there's this man, Hector, again, totally changed his countenance and everything. Had a chance to talk to him, and I said, "Hector, tell me your story." He says, "I'm from Puerto Rico. My mother and I came over about a year ago into Connecticut. We got abandoned, separated, and now I'm 22 years of age. I'm in this shelter." And that night, Hector gave his life to Jesus Christ, and now he's born again. He's washed in the blood. Could we give God some praise? Stand to our feet right now. As we close, and maybe we sing this song once through, I know you have to go. There's some information on the back table. I trust you take it. But maybe you want to come and stand with Pastor and I this morning at this altar and say, "Lord, today, I want to be the best first responder." Best first responder. He's just asking for our availability. Hector didn't even care if I was a reverend ordained. He didn't care. The woman that was ministered to in the women's bathroom, she didn't say to the young lady, "Had you been to Bible school? Did you take synoptic gospels?" All that stuff is good. I'm not negating, because the Bible says, Paul said to Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing
the word of truth. That's why we're in church. That's why you need to come to be trained and equipped so that when you go out from myself and the presence of God and Pastor John's not there, in your arsenal, in your backpack, week after week is being put in your backpack, fresh principles and new strategies so that when no one's around, you're able to pull out of that backpack. And so I know in whom I have believed, God wants to set you free on aisle number 9 at the food liner. Is God able to do it? Can God bring revival? Hallelujah. It starts with you and me. And we need to say, Lord Jesus, I take out all the prerequisites. He's just saying, whosoever will, let him come. Could we sing a song that the worship team might have right now? And why don't you just come right now, just for a few minutes. You can just text your family and say, put that roast on hold. God has something else right now. Why don't you just come around the altar and say, Lord, today, take my life. Let me be a person of courage, consistency, compassion, conviction. Use me, God, that I don't react to people's reaction. There are people that we're going to face even today at a restaurant, a waitress, a waiter, the gas station. God, meet me today. Would you come? As we pray and seek the face of God.